Texas. It's Pastor Mike Haugard, pastor of Bethel Church in Festus, Missouri, and head of Prophetic Research Ministry, with another Watchman video broadcast. This is part two of our discussion of weapons. Should people be allowed to have guns? The terrible, unthinkable. I would never even in a million years even think of ever doing something like this, going into a school, killing 20 children. The reason why you killed 20 children is because something happened and you stopped before you killed 30 or 40 or 50. I mean, he had enough ammo on him to do a lot more harm than he did. We're talking about this tragic event. Now, already, and I have some news articles to share with you, already we are seeing more and more discussion about restricting weapons, restricting guns, because there are people who think that if we de-weaponize, if we disarm everybody except the government, then we're going to be safe then from things like this happening. And what they're trying to convince you of is the idea that if nobody has any guns except the government, then things like this won't happen. We're going to prevent it from happening again. That is not true. Remember, on the same day that this event took place in Connecticut, guy goes into a school in China with a knife, slashes 22 children in that school and one teacher. And they said it's just a string of school-related attacks that have been happening in China. They're not going to prevent it. They're not going to... The government cannot be the sole means of protection and safety. There is too many people and not enough government for now. The government of any nation, including America, seems like in nowadays all they want is for the government to be bigger than the people and not the people bigger than the government. And there's reasons behind this. And remember, we found out from the scriptures the plan, that there is a plan. It is spiritual in nature to take away the weapons of people, to take away their source of strength and power so they can rule over them. You have to ask yourself the question, are there evil people in this world who seek to rule and dominate over people for their own, for wealth or for their own power, their own degraded, corrupted mind? Are there people in the world who do this? Yes. Are there people in public office right now in whatever country, Australia, Britain, Spain, Africa, the United States? Are there people who are in office right now who would love to have more power than what they have right now? Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt. So this is not some far-fetched conspiracy theory that you're going to see Jesse Ventura talk about, although he may cover this. This is reality. There are evil people in this world who want to rule. We're looking at a situation in this country, and it's already happening all over the world, where the Muslims, because their God Allah tells them to go kill everybody that's not a Muslim, they are seeking out every country in the world to dominate and rule over that country with the tyrannical, deadly, diabolical, evil doctrines of Islam. Islam is not a religion of peace. Don't let them lie to you. By the way, their religion says they can lie about their religion and it's okay. So they said it's a religion of peace. Their religion said they could lie about it. In fact, they're supposed to lie about it, to hide their aim. And their aim is to put in Sharia law, Islamic law. Islamic law that says if I don't like my wife and she doesn't cook my eggs right, I can take her out in the street and blow her head off. That's what's coming. We have an obligation in this. The strength of America right now is the fact that we are armed. We have an obligation to protect our country and our children and our grandchildren, our posterity from that. What does the Constitution say? Started out, we the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, to ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States of America. It's to our posterity that I'm looking to today. Remember, we found the story in the book of Judges, the spirit of mystery Babylon in the form of Delilah. In Judges chapter 16, the Philistines, who wanted control, they wanted power, they were an evil force, and they were over God's people. They were over the nation of Israel. And the Philistines, the lords of the Philistines, went to her in Judges chapter 16, said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him. And so clearly in my mind, there is no doubt whatsoever that there are very, very evil forces in this world. Some call it the New World Order. Some talk about conspiracies and so on. You have to admit there's some very, very weird things going on. Are we moving toward globalization? Yes. Do we want that? No, I don't want that. I like being an American. I don't want to be in with the rest of the world. I don't like how some nations govern their people. I don't like that. I don't want that. So I want the blessings of liberty that I have in this country, and I don't want to lose them. I don't want to lose them for my children. So no, I don't want to be part of the global community. I have no interest in that whatsoever. And so there are evil people who want to remove our power so they can rule over us. I'm going to show you. Now, this was in the book of Judges. This is the Philistines. Philistines always represent the bad guys because they always wore black and, well, you get it, okay? That's the Philistines. Now, I'm going to show you a situation that existed in the Bible. You've got to see this. If you have never seen this, you have to see this with your eyes. The Philistines had gotten so much control and so much power over the Israelites. They didn't even belong together. I mean, the Philistines, you had their nation. They had Gath and all of these Ashdod, and they had their country. They were never satisfied. They always wanted to rule over the Israelites. Always did. They always wanted that. The story of David and Goliath. Goliath was a Philistine. Why was he there? They put him out there because they figured, we use this guy, we can take over. The Philistines were already in Judah, and Saul was their king of the Israelites. And the Philistines wanted control over Israel. They wanted their land, they wanted their territories, wanted their wells, wanted their cattle, wanted their gold, wanted everything about them, and wanted to rule over the Israelites. And they used Goliath to do it. But in the book of 1 Samuel 13, the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, this story is before Goliath shows up. And I want you to see the kind of rule and the kind of order that the Philistines had over the Israelites, how much control they had. Look at this. 1 Samuel 13, verse 19. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Stop right here. The Philistines had so much control over the Israelites, they would not allow the Israelites to even have a smith. That means if you looked in the Israeli telephone book, there was nobody named Smith. And no, it doesn't mean that. It meant that there was no blacksmith, no iron worker, no steel worker, no fabricator, nothing like that. Nobody. The Philistines would not allow anybody in Israel to have the job of working with iron and steel and whatever. Why? Because that's what they made spears out of and swords. That's what they had. They said the Israelites, verse 20, went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. In other words, they couldn't even sharpen their own weapons. Their own axes. Their own shears that they used to cut wheat with and things like that. They wouldn't even allow them to sharpen their own tools. They had to go down to the Philistines to do it. Why? Why? Ask yourself the question, why? Ask yourself the question, if really, and just think about this. Government says, let us take away all your weapons. We will protect you so that this doesn't happen again. But you know for a fact that it's not going to work. Why then do they want to take the weapons? You have to ask the question, why? Why is there an entity who wants to disarm law-abiding citizens. Not the crazy goofballs that go in the malls and the movie theaters and everything else. Not them. Disarm them, people. Okay? I'm all for that. But guys like me, guys like you, never fired our weapon at another human being. Don't intend to unless you put your hands on my wife or my kids. They want to take away our weapons. Why? You have to ask the question, why? Why take them away from people who have no intention on using them ever unless they're attacked? Why? Here's the reason. 1 Samuel 13:22. So it came to pass in the day of battle. There it is right there. In the day of battle, that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and Jonathan, his son, was there found. Now that is, I remember the first time I read this a few years ago, my jaw dropped. I sat back and I went, oh Lord, they're going to come after our weapons, aren't they? The Philistines represent the liberal crowd, not only in this country, but in every country. There are nations already right now who have very, very strict gun control laws. They got them in China. Didn't stop that guy, did it? He went in, took a knife, because you can't take away all the knives from people. They can't cut their food up, can't shave in the morning. People will find weapons. People will do what they're going to do. But their nations all over the world have strict gun control laws, and it doesn't stop the bad guys. It doesn't stop the bad people. But look at what happened, why the Philistines would not allow the Israelites to have a smith in the land of blacksmith. Why? They didn't have, so they wouldn't have any swords. So it came to pass in the day of battle, nobody had any weapons. And the people who have Goliaths, they had a Hulk. Remember that from the Avengers? The people who had a Hulk went in with all of their spears and their swords and their shields. You see, the Israelites couldn't even defend themselves because you make shields. Blacksmiths, that's what they do. They pound out metal and make shields with it. And the Israelites couldn't even defend themselves because the Philistines wouldn't let them. It's all planned out, wasn't it? Because remember, back here, the Philistines wanted to know, hey, let's tell me the strength of Samson so that we can prevail against him. The Philistines were pretty smart. They knew that if they could prevail against Israel, they'd win. So they said, no smith, no swords, no spears, no knives, no shields. There's something else interesting about this verse, and I want you to look at this. I want you to look at it very closely. According to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 22, who had the weapons? Look at it. Saul and Jonathan. You know who they were? The government. The only people who had weapons in the land of Israel was the government. And in the day that Goliath showed up, the government was sitting on their hands, not going to do anything about it. The government, if they're a good government, they will try to protect the people. I believe in the armed forces. By the way, when I say government, I want you to understand something. Okay? I am not talking about the good guys in law enforcement. I know some people in this county. My niece is a county deputy sheriff. I am as proud of her as anybody. I think that is neat. She inherited my sister's tough attitude, all right? And she's got it. And she ain't afraid to pull you over and write you a ticket, buddy. I wouldn't mess with her. You know what? She's one of the good guys. I know a pastor's son that I'm friend with. He's a deputy sheriff. I tell him, hey, I got a concealed carry license. Good for you. We got a guy that loves this ministry, comes in this church every now and then. He is a police officer. I told him, I said, you come in here on any service, we got a bunch of guys carrying. He said, good for you. He said, you may need it one of these days. Most, and you and I both know, while the Alex Jones crowd wants anarchy, and they think everybody with a badge and everybody with a gun is the bad guy. You and I both know that there's some good cops out there, some good sheriffs, some good deputies out there that got their head right. They are for citizens arming themselves because they know that they can't do everything. And they know, listen, these guys know the bad guys. They know how bad they are. They know how wicked they are. But it seems like, though, and it's not true in every case, but it seems like when some of these guys get up in higher office, they start getting political. And then all of a sudden, maybe they're not for everybody having guns, and the politicians have gotten to them, and they're saying, now, we'll put you up the ranks here if you'll do this and you'll do this. Soldiers out on the battlefield, listen, I love these guys. If I see a guy wearing one of them Navy caps, you know, he looks like some older guy, and he's wearing one of them Navy caps with the scrambled eggs on the bill of it, I'll go to him. I don't even know who he is. I'll go to him and offer to shake his hand and tell him, thank you for defending your country, for serving your country. Appreciate it. If I see some old guy with Vietnam patches, I'll walk up to him. Hey, I know you got a bad shake 40 years ago, but I'm here to tell you I appreciate you going to bat for your country. If I see some guy with a crew cut, old guy with a crew cut, I think he was in the Army. I think he was a Marine. And I'm just liable to go up to him and say, thank you for serving your country. I love soldiers. I love guys who come back from the battlefield with scars and wounds. And I think our country, our people, the citizens, I think we ought to treat them right and treat them good. These are the guys. But I'll tell you this. It's not the law enforcement guys who are the good guys, and the soldiers who are the good. These are good guys. It's not them that I'm worried about. It's the politicians who pull the strings. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Crooked, double-dealing, underhanded, political game players who are pulling the strings, who are out to take away personal liberty for their own private benefit. That's who I'm not for at all. Just a few days after that terrible incident, Drudge Report, here it is. Obama to go for guns. Not mine. Can't have them. Cannot have my guns. And the liberals out there, and the not just the liberal politicians, but the liberal thinkers out there, those in academia, those who have bought into the liberal, even liberal religious figures, those who have bought into this idea that the government is this benevolent organization, and we all just need to sit around and sing Kumbaya and hold hands, and all we are saying is give peace a chance, and have John Lennon lead the charge here to disarm everybody, and think if we do that, then the world's going to be a better place. And these are the anarchists of the 60s who didn't trust the government to begin with. And now they're saying now that the only people who should be allowed to have weapons are law enforcement and soldiers and the government agents. They're the only ones who, and if we had it that way, if we took all the guns out of the cities and out of the homes and out of the barns and out of the pickup trucks, we took all the guns away, then everything would be okay. It won't. And this is the same government, the same government. Now, if you really believe this, if you really believe that we can trust a government who has the sole authority to use a weapon, let me show you what this is not wild-eyed conspiracy stuff. This is reality. Let me show you what this government, this president, did with his belief that guns should be in his power alone. Look at this article. This is from CBS News. This is not from Alex Jones. Fast and furious gun found at site where Mexican beauty queen was killed. A gun found at the scene of a shootout between a Mexican drug cartel and soldiers where a beauty queen died was part of the botched Fast and Furious operation. Authorities had said that Maria Susana Flores Gomez was likely used as a human shield and that an automatic rifle had been found near her body after the November 23rd shootout. Senator Chuck Grassley tells CBS News that the Justice Department did not notify Congress that a Fast and Furious firearm was found at the scene. CBS News learned the Romanian AK-47 type WASR-10 rifle found near her body was purchased by Uriel Patino at an Arizona gun shop in 2010. Patino is a suspect who allegedly purchased 700 guns while under the ATF's watch. The Fast and Furious program operation was launched in 2009 to catch trafficking kingpins, but agents lost track of about 1,400 of the more than 2,000 weapons involved. Stop right here. The government, Barack Obama, who says, we want all the guns, you can trust us, sent 2,000 weapons, put them in the black market, lost all but 600 of them. And they went out into the open market, and one of those rifles was responsible for taking the innocent life of a Mexican beauty queen. Forgive me if I... No, I don't care if you forgive me or not. I don't trust them. I don't trust the politicians. The soldiers I like, most of the law enforcement guys I like, most of them, not all of them. But I don't trust the politicians. And they want the rights to the guns. Look at this article. Democrats vow to push for gun control measures in Congress. Several Democratic lawmakers called for a new push for U.S. gun restrictions on Sunday, including a ban on military-style assault weapons in the wake of the Connecticut massacre in which 20 children and 6 adults were gunned down in a school. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein, the author of an assault weapons ban that lapsed in 2004, said she would introduce new legislation this week. Senator Dick Durbin, he's from over in Illinois here, the chamber's number two Democrat, said lawmakers would hold hearings on gun control, and several others said they would devote new attention to the long-ignored issue. I think we could be at a tipping point where we might get something done, Senator Charles Schumer, another top Senate Democrat, said on CBS's Face the Nation. They're telling you, they're coming after your guns, and they're not good. So Feinstein writes this bill, an anti-assault weapon ban, it lapses in 2004, and they're all saying, you know what, we're going after her again. Boy, isn't it convenient? I don't know, and neither does anybody else, unless paperwork shows up and we see a line of a trail going from the gunman in Connecticut to somebody in the government. We don't know. But I will tell you that whether this was conspired by elements of evil people in government or it just happened, either way, the people who want to take away your weapons are now using this. And they said, we're at the tipping point. You know what that means? We're that close. That's what that means. We are that close to taking away guns in this country. Feinstein, Schumer, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and all the ilk of the liberals in Congress, and the noodle for a backbone congressman Republicans who won't stand up to them, who back down from these guys, they're the ones who are going to be responsible for this. And I want to tell you something, I don't trust them, and they have an agenda. Here is our attorney general. Now, stop right here. Barack Hussein puts his hand on a Bible. I swear I will defend the Constitution. Eric Holder, the attorney general of the United States, the guy who represents he's the government's lawyer, the number one law enforcement agent in the whole country, is the attorney general. I promise, I swear I'll protect and defend the Constitution. The Constitution says the right for the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Here is Eric Holder. Here's the guy that you're wanting to trust now with your guns. Eric Holder, 1995, Holder called for an anti-gun info campaign to brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. There's a YouTube video of it. You could probably see it there. But here's the transcript. President Obama promised meaningful action to prevent gun violence, but he didn't explain exactly what he meant. Although a push for some kind of gun control legislation seems likely, there's also the possibility of an anti-gun informational campaign as described in 1995 by then U.S. Attorney Eric Holder. Holder, now Obama's Attorney General, proposed using various levers of media and pop culture to attach a social stigma to guns, just as smoking has been stigmatized in recent decades. This is a quote now from that video. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this, Holder told the Women's National Democratic Club while discussing how to curb gun violence in D.C. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. He said it. He said that we have to brainwash people into thinking that guns are evil. We need to hand them over. Now, this is the same guy, the Attorney General, who's responsible for enforcing the laws to protect the Constitution of the United States. Nothing more constitutional that needs to be protected than voting rights. You remember the 2008 election. I think it was in Philadelphia. Here is a Black Panther caught on video, standing in front of a polling place, menacingly with, I don't know if he had something in his hand or not. He said, I think he had a bat or a stick or something like that, standing there looking tough in front of a voting place, obviously wanting people, trying to scare people into voting for Obama. Obviously, because of the connections Obama has had in his past. That's obvious. They brought this guy up on charges. Eric Holder, the Attorney General, says, we're not going to touch this. This is really not for us. This is no big deal. Let the guy go. And he's the one that says all we have to do is brainwash people into understanding that we need to get rid of all their guns and just trust us, the American government. We'll do what's right. Really? I don't think so. Now, let me say this again about those in law enforcement, soldiers, the good guys. Let me say this about the good guys. I believe in giving honor where honor is due, and I believe it's biblical. Romans chapter 13. Now, Romans chapter 13 is being argued at. It's being argued and fought over. You have the extreme on one side. You have the extreme of the Alex Jones crowd who says no government's good, all government's evil, we're going to rule ourselves, and on and on and on. That's unbiblical. It's wrong and it's unscriptural. God ordains governments. Now, they turn bad. I understand that. We appeal it to God. God gives us a remedy. I understand all that. But then you have the extreme on the other side. The FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Association Agency, issued a thing where they were going to hire clergymen to use Romans chapter 13 to preach to the people, anything the government tells you to do, it's for your own good. Get in the truck. Okay? In a case of a national emergency, the bus comes by, they're going to take you to the safety center. Just get in the bus. That's what they were hiring pastors to tell people this. That's wrong. It's stupid. Okay? Here is what the scripture says concerning rulers. Now, let me say this. Okay? I believe in governments. If, however, a government causes me or tries to force me to break God's law and God's word, I do not have to give my obedience to that government. Period. That's biblical. They caught Peter and John. They beat them and said, don't ever preach in Jesus' name ever again. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Clearly, these guys, they wanted to be good citizens. They wanted to do what was right. But when they were told to not preach in Jesus' name anymore, and they said, you know what, sorry, we can't do it. You're going to have to kill us. And that's eventually what happened. Now, some people have it in their mind that if there are bad people in government that are corrupt and everything like that, then we don't have to listen to them. That is not right. That's unbiblical. That is rebellion to authority. If, however, that authority, being corrupt, tries to force us to violate God's law and God's commandment, then we disobey. Let me give you an example. Let's say that the government put out a situation where every child had to go to a public school. You couldn't be homeschooled, no private Christian school, nothing. And then forbids parents from teaching, number one, from homeschooling them. Number two, forbids parents from teaching them biblical principles. Not doing it. Not doing it. And don't even, if that's the case, don't even think about coming to take away my kids. Don't do it. I'm just saying, don't do it. That's biblical. Let's talk about the good guys for a minute. Then we'll get back to the bad guys. All right. Romans chapter 3, verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Look in verse 5. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, that's what the Bible says. There's no argument. It's not ambiguous. It's not unclear. It means exactly what it says. The good guys in law enforcement, the soldiers, the judges and things like that, they are ministers of God. And the Bible said pay tribute. You know what that means? Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. These guys have to feed their family. They've got to have a new car. I mean, that's just normal, okay? And that's the basis for good civil government. And it's biblical to do these things. So I'm not talking about that. Just because the sheriff in your county is a boozer and he's letting guys cook meth and things like that, that don't mean you have a right to shoot him. Does not mean that at all. As long as he is not forcing you to violate God's law or the laws of this country for that matter. We're not to touch him. There's a process. The judicial process should take care of that. We still have laws in this country, and those laws are still pretty good. They don't work perfectly. No one does. But what I'm saying to you is, I am not and will not endorse, nor will I stand for anarchy of any kind. But I will say that when the government, any government, tries to force me, if they try to force me to marry sodomites, I'm not doing it. And you can take away all the church money. You can take away the church. You can put me in jail. I'm not doing it. Okay? I'm not for hire for someone who's going to try to make me violate God's law. I won't do it. It's not going to happen. And for that, we stand our ground. And we stand fast in the liberty wherewith God has made us free. And we're not talking about the good guys in law enforcement. We're talking about the politicians. We're talking about, by and large, and look at this. I mean, this is so typical. This graphic is so typical of that anti-gun crowd. This statue, what is that, New York or somewhere, something like that. It might be related to the UN. Here's a picture of the UN Security Council. Now, I'm going to say this, okay? I'm not a globalist. I don't want our country to be hooked into the United Nations, but we are, and I think it's a travesty. At some point, now I'm going to tell you what's coming down the road. At some point, the liberals in our government right now, American citizens for the most part, wink, they know that they do not have the power to just enact a law that says we're taking away all the guns. They know we don't. They know that most guys in law enforcement are going to stand with the people. They know that most soldiers. Right now, the armed forces of this country do not like the liberal government that's been imposed upon them and the liberal commander-in-chief that tries to give them orders. And they know that. These liberals are not, they know that they cannot enforce a total gun ban in this country. They're going to need help. So let's turn our sovereignty, our Bill of Rights, into the hands of the United Nations Security Council. Let's let the thugs in the United Nations decide what's best for us in our backyard? Are you kidding me? It's not going to happen. So what's on the table right now? A United Nations ban on handguns. That's what's on the table right now. To give American sovereignty and our right to keep and bear arms, give that decision and that sovereignty over into the hands of governments who are at odds and enemies of the American way of life and the Bible principles that we stand on in this country. Not going to happen. So let's revisit this again. 1 Samuel 13:22. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and Jonathan his son was there found. So this is what we're dealing with. They're going to bring out a situation where only the government can have weapons, so that in the day of battle, do we not see a day of battle coming? So that in the day of battle, the only people who have weapons, the only people who could fight are the government people. We're being set up. If you don't see that, I can't help you. Now again, I don't want to speculate. I don't want to just guess and make it sound like it's an accepted fact that some evil people in the New World Order agenda manipulated this guy to go into this school and shoot all these kids. Okay? I need a trail. I need evidence. I read a website last night of a guy that he found all these curious things in the official report of this school shooting. And what he did was, on simple miscommunications or whatever, he extrapolated this whole big bizarre plan that it really wasn't Adam Lanza, that it was some other guys that slipped in and they made him a patsy. And they did. See, people come up with all kinds of weird stuff. And when you try to tell that to people, they don't want to hear it. So I don't know. I don't know this. All I know is there's 20 coffins with children in them. And what else I know is that there is talk by the crowd over here that wants to take away your weapons. And what I also know is that there is a spirit behind it. That's the truth of the Word of God. Those three things right there. I know there's 20 caskets of kids with kids in them. I know there are people who are going to jump on this and try to take our guns away and get this UN Small Arms Treaty signed. And I know from the Bible that there is a spirit behind it. I know that. So let's deal now with the spiritual aspect of this. I know I'll be honest with you. I'm sounding tougher than what I'm comfortable with. I don't like to talk this way. It is against my nature to say, I'll kill you. I don't talk that way. I don't threaten people. I don't go around looking for somebody to beat up. It's just not my nature. I have an obligation to protect my family and my grandchildren's freedom, and I'm gonna try my best to do that. I also am a pastor. I have an obligation as a shepherd. I have an obligation to protect my sheep. So now we get from physical weapons to spiritual ones. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now I'm going to stop right here. Because some of those who would criticize me from, let's say, the Christian arena would say, well, you're all wrong because we're supposed to not walk in the flesh but after the Spirit, and we're supposed to not war after the flesh, and so you're all wrong for how you're thinking that. Let the government take away your guns. That doesn't wash with me, okay? I see right past that, and I'm not fooled by that. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I understand it. I get it. When we're talking about spirits and fighting spirits, they don't care that I carry a concealed weapon. Doesn't bother them. I cannot shoot a devil with my gun, okay? Or hit him with a baseball bat. Can't do it. This is talking about dealing with spirits. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I'm not interested in going to war here. What I'm interested in is fighting off real life people who respond to bullets. That's what I'm dealing with. And clearly in the scripture, Jesus himself said, take a sword, because you're probably going to need it. Okay? He didn't say go to war. He didn't say go kill everybody in the name of God that won't turn into a Christian. He's saying you're going to need money and you're going to need to defend yourself. Go do it. So anyway, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And really, everything that I've said so far concerning physical weapons, now we see in the spiritual realm. By the way, let me say this too. I believe that if we were a nation that was based upon the Bible and upon God's laws and God's commandments and God's ways of righteousness, God promised plainly in these scriptures that if we were that way in this nation, we wouldn't have to fire a shot. God would defend our country for us. He said, five of you chase 1,000. That's what he said. But we're not that way anymore. We lost that war, or for the most part in this country. So now we're dealing with, and you recognize that in America 50, 60 years ago, that still had a civility, still had at least an idea that adultery was wrong and stealing and murder was wrong, and people went to bed with their door unlocked and their windows open. That was the America that used to be when people still had God's commandments, at least in their hearts, even if they weren't Christians. We don't have that anymore. Back 50 years ago, people didn't really need to defend their home with a shotgun, even though everybody had one. Nowadays, we do. But we see here in this passage, 2 Corinthians 10, everything that I said. Weaponize yourself as a Christian. Why? Because you're going to need to pull down strongholds. They're going to build up fortresses against you. You're going to need to pull those things down. You're going to have to bring into captivity imaginations, which is the imagination of man, is where the devil works. And he said, you can't shoot these guys. You have to use spiritual weapons against them. And be ready to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is filled. You know what the Apostle Paul is telling you? God is deputizing you, giving you a weapon, saying you will be the executor of my vengeance against, not these people, against spirits. Because remember, the spirits are the one who are calling all the shots, as it were. They're the ones behind trying to take away all the weapons. They know when you weaken the people, both physically and spiritually, they know they can take control. And it's happening. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand when in the evil day. Stop right here. God is warning you that there's an evil day coming. Why do I carry a gun? Why do I carry a weapon? It's because I can't wait to shoot somebody. I hope to get to use this one of these days. Please. I carry a weapon. So does my wife. Because we think there's a possibility that an evil day might come. I would hate that. Even if it was a bad guy who wanted to rape my wife, the thought of me taking another human life, but that's not gonna make me back down from preparing for what could be the evil day. I hope it never happens. I hope I never have to use it. That's what our founding fathers said. Carry the guns and pray to God every day you don't have to use it. But if you do, you do. that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I want you to stop right here. I want to look at this verse again. Because you're going to see. Remember the Philistines? The Philistines would not allow them to have a blacksmith. What did blacksmiths make? Well, let's see here. They made shields. Shield of faith. What else did they make? They made helmets. Helmet of salvation. What else did they make? They made swords. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see how it works now? Are you getting where I'm going with this? Not only are the physical Philistines trying to disarm the dangerous people that they think will not let them bring in their new world order. These spirits are trying to disarm the church by not letting them forge weapons to be able to defend. And stop and look at it. Loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod in preparation of gospel of peace, shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. As of right then, all of those are defensive weapons. They're meant to protect the body. You know what the body is in spiritual terms? It's the church. It's my family. Spiritually. All of these are defensive items. There's a sword, however. I mean, you get tired of having to defend yourself all the time by just wearing the shield and the helmet and all that stuff. At some point, this guy's not going to stop. You have to stop him. That's what the sword's for. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, we're talking about the spiritual realm here. So here's the Philistines now. Now, the Philistines, those spirits, they're working through the United Nations. They're working through all the agendas. They're working through the liberals. They're working through Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Dianne Frank Einstein, and Barack Hussein, and all of these other liberals out there. They're working through weak, spineless Republicans. They're playing on the fears of soccer moms all over the place. Academia, the professors who sit and smoke pipes and know better because they read books, think that if we just de-weaponize everybody, all of a sudden the world's going to be at peace. That's stupid. It's ridiculous. It won't happen. All you'll do is weaken an entire people so that their enemies will take over. That's all that's going to happen. And some people know that, and that's what they want. So all these organizations that are trying to take away the weapons of America, because America really is the strongest nation in the world for now. We're almost at the tipping point, remember? What about the church? He said to stand. I mean, all of Ephesians 6, he said to stand there, just to withstand, to stand therefore, stand! Paul said in Galatians, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I've never seen a dead man stand. I've never seen a dead Christian stand either. The devil knows if we don't have the weapons, he wins. He can roll right over us. So you know what he's doing? He has talked the average church member into handing over their right to defend themselves and their right to warfare over to the Sauls and the Jonathans, the governments of the church. What am I talking about? The church councils, the scholars, the seminaries. In fact, let me show you this. I got graphics here. I'll use them, all right? Church councils. These guys all get together in their robes and their pious atmosphere, and they say, we believe God is this way. And that God already has a council. It's called the Word of God. He's the wonderful counselor. God already has all of his doctrines laid out plainly in Scripture. And God, I'm going to tell you something. God never, never tells you to delegate your authority and your ability to discern and know and understand and believe what's in this Bible over to someone else. He never tells you to do that. He gives you teachers and bishops, and that's plain in the Scripture. And the apostles, they wrote the doctrines of God down. But here's what's being done. We've handed over what we say we're going to... Roman Catholicism is all about whatever the council said, whatever the Pope And all the cardinals said, I guess that's what we have to do. And if you're a Roman Catholic, you cannot go. You cannot defend yourself. In fact, the Vatican II, they get together in 1963. You know what they're doing? The Vatican II was all about being Philistines to take away the weapons out of the hands of Protestant Christians. That's what it was about. It's about bringing all the Protestant churches. They started out with the Anglican Church. They got them, the Lutheran Church. They got them over in Europe. I don't know how it is in America, but they got them, if not by ownership, but by equality. Now they're arm in arm with their Catholic priest buddies. And then they started moving through the charismatic movement. Then they started moving through the Bible translation movement. Remember, the Vatican hates the King James Bible. Tried to stop it from coming out. That didn't work. 1963, they get together and say, you know what? We've got to control every... See, they want power. We've got to control every church and everybody who calls himself a Christian or not in this world. They're the Philistines. By the way, look at this. The Philistines wore fish hats. Okay? The Philistines wore fish hats. The Vatican never wanted the common man to have a sword. Never. They still don't want it. You say, well, they publish Bibles now. Let me tell you what they do. They publish these Bibles that are based upon these false manuscripts, but then they're very clear when they tell people, now, we're the church. We're the councils. We're the popes. We're the leaders. We're the Saul and Jonathan. You don't have a right to try to understand what this Bible is. You have no right to defend yourself. That Bible in your hands is a dangerous weapon. I wouldn't even use it if I were you. You just come and eat the cookie and drink the juice like we tell you to do and bow to the priest and let us lord over you because we know all your sins. Let us molest your children too while we're at it. You come and you put your trust in us and we'll protect you. Are you kidding me? They're the wolves. And so is most of the politicians in Washington, in London, in Brussels, in Nairobi, in Melbourne or Sydney. Well, I don't know the capital of Australia. Most of the politicians are the wolves who are telling you, let us protect you. A lot of preachers are that way too. The seminaries. Well, he's, you know, we elected this preacher because he's been to seminary. I mean, he's got an MDiv, a Master of Divinity. He's working on his doctorate now, and I'm sure that they wouldn't have told him anything that wasn't true. Oh, yeah, they did, because I went to the Bible college. And you know what they did? They said, now, this Bible that all those people in those churches had, this King James Bible, it's not right. It's wrong. It's got errors and mistakes in it. It's full of holes. And it's really... Now go to the churches now and convince them to hand over their weapon to you. Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to teach you a secret language that only you will know. See, the Vatican did this. It was called Latin. And the seminary said, we're going to teach you a secret language called Greek and Hebrew that only you will know. And then you can tell, convince those people that since they don't know these secret languages, that they can't have the real Word of God. And they must come to you for it. That's pretty slick, isn't it? Got to be kidding me. The bookstores. Bookstores are all about writing books to take away your sovereignty and your right to defend yourself. Filling your mind with the idea that you really don't need the whole Bible. You just need to feel good about yourself. And we have a few verses plus a lot of other things that we add in here that'll make you feel good about yourself. And then you have all the various Bible translations. And I want you to look at this graphic. I got this from a website of, I can't remember the denomination that was behind it. And it's basically a way that you can understand the Bible. Notice that they have the today's NIV, which is the gender neutral one, the New Revised Standard Version, New International Version, New English Translation, English Standard, Revised Standard, New King James, New American and Americans. What's missing? the King James. In fact, there is a footnote along with this graphic that says, you may have noticed that the King James is missing. Well, that's because even though it was good, these newer Bibles are based upon the better manuscripts that the King James translators did not have. Greek and Hebrew, secret language, you don't know. So let us tell you what to believe. Let us defend you. And most of these guys are the wolves. Now, I believe in the office of bishop. I am one. I believe in the office of pastor. That'd be silly for me not to encourage people to that. But did you know that at least in our church, my church people know that I fall under the same authority as they fall under? They don't necessarily fall under my authority as long as they fall under the authority of the Word of God, and they know and they hold their pastor to a standard that pastor is going to hold to and stick to the Word of God. They know, my church people know that I'm going to defend them. My church people also know that I'm going to teach them how to defend themselves from the wolves that are out there, from the YouTube and the website bloggers and all the people writing all these articles about how you got to know Hebrew and you got to put on a yarmulke and how you got to speak in tongues and how you got to read all these 14 other translations of the Bible to really know what God said. And they're out there and they are weaponless. They are weaponless because they don't know how to fight this off, because these guys are so slick. They know if they threw in just enough questions that most people who stand in line with this Bible would not know how to defend themselves. And so you know what? I, as a good pastor, am doing, I'm teaching my people and everybody out there, I'm going to teach you how to defend yourself. You have just as much, I'm the bishop of my church, but I tell my people they have just as much right to read, study, meditate, and believe and know this Bible as I do. Just as much right. And any pastor who would try to teach his people, you have a Bible, but you don't really know what it is. I am the only one who should have a right, because I have a Master of Divinity. I took Greek class. I have a concordance in my office that I can read. I can do these things. I am the one. There was, who is this guy? We featured him on the Pastor Mike Online here not too long ago. John Piper does a video saying how to get your church out of the King James Bible. Why would they do that? That's a guy who believes in his mind that the scholars and the seminary experts and the clergy up here are really the only ones who really know and have a right to know what the Bible says. You just trust us as we tell you what to do. They're the Philistines. They have removed the smiths, the blacksmiths, the people in the congregation who can forge weapons of their own. They have removed that from them, and those people stand weaponless, and the devil is running right over the top of them. I hate to see it. And so you know what? You can hate my guts if you want to over this Bible issue. You can say my name in your circles that I'm a cult leader. You can say whatever manner of evil you want to against me. You can try to defame me out there on the internet. You can do whatever you want to. But let me tell you what I'm doing, and I'm going to be open and honest about it. I'm trying to take people that are following you and convince them that they can stand on their own two feet. And they can stand against you when they find out that you've been preaching false doctrine and teaching false stuff out of some book that's not even in the Bible. I'm going to tell them that they can stand on their own two feet and they don't need to follow you. They don't need to send their money to you. I'm going to weaponize those people with a King James Bible so they can stand on their own two feet and defend the fiery darts that you're throwing in their direction. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it so that my grandchildren have a church to go to when I'm gone off this world. That's why I'm doing it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. What kind of fight is that now? It's the fight of faith. We have to fight. We are going to have to battle over this faith. And if you have been de-weaponized, if you've been disarmed by some preacher, some wolf in sheep's clothing, what do you got to fight with? You can't even defend yourself because they took all the blacksmiths out of your church. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul's not talking to the bishops. Timothy was a bishop. He's talking to the church people. You and I are reading this. That's who he's talking to. Jude, look at the book of Jude, verse 3. Beloved, he's not just talking to the clergy. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you'd earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend. You know what contend means? Fight. For the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He said, ungodly men, wolves, have crept in and they've taken over. Did you know that they've taken over the publishing companies? They've taken over the Bible printing companies. They've taken over. How many private Christian radio stations are there left in America? 50 years ago, there was hundreds of them, maybe thousands of them, scattered all over the country. Did you know that most of these radio and TV stations have been bought out by a big conglomerate? Did you know that? Why? Philistines de-weaponizing the church. They've taken over the seminaries. They've taken over the heads of the denominations. They've taken over everything. They've crept in while the church stood there weaponless against them and could not defend the new doctrines that were coming their way. That's what they did. And Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith. That means fight for it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Did you know you're a soldier? God called you as a Christian to be a soldier. And you think that you were just supposed to fight the Buddhist and the Jehovah's Witness, everything like that. I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you where the battlefield is. The battlefield's in our backyard now. The battlefield is in our churches right now. That's where the battlefield is. And Paul said, I'm an apostle, and I've got all this authority, and I've got all the doctrine. I'm telling you, things you've heard from me, you commit to faithful men. You make other soldiers. You teach people how to defend themselves. You teach people how to fight the good fight of faith with this Bible. We have a good captain, by the way. We have a good, strong captain, Jesus Christ. You know that liberal Jesus that everybody says, oh, Jesus doesn't want us doing this. That's violent. That's bad. Let me tell you about the Jesus of the Bible. Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's who I'm following. I'm following the soldier Savior. That's who I'm following. Yeah, he's the Prince of Peace, but listen, as long as there are enemies out there, there will be no peace. The Apostle Paul told us as Christians that as much as we are able, we're to follow peace with all men. And I believe in that, as much as we are able. But when you become an enemy to the sovereignty and the sovereign rights of American citizens, we are not going to be at peace, and I'm not going to lay down for you. And when you, as a spiritual head, attack the authority of the Word of God and attack the people who have the right to use that Bible as a sword and defend themselves with it, when you go after them, I'm going after you. I'm following the guy with the sword. That's who I'm following. Again, I don't like sounding tough, because I don't think I am. But don't think for a minute that I there's lots of others just like me. Don't think for a minute we're just going to lay down while you roll over. It's not going to happen. This is Pastor Mike. Pray for peace. Be ready to fight. God bless you. Bye-bye.